Thanks, Dominic. My guess is this is the first presentation on brown marmorated stink bug in cotton. My hunch is it may not be the last. For a quick background on brown marmorated stink bug, this is the current distribution in the U.S. based on a brown marmorated stink bug working group in the north central region, June 2012. Detected in the green states. Nuisance problems means it's in homes and buildings and hotels and restaurants, but not yet reported agriculturally. The severe agricultural problems are in the mid-Atlantic, including Virginia. This is our 2012 survey of Virginia. I've been doing this survey for about 4 years now, and this year, we're surveying soybean because of the work that we're doing with soybean. The gray counties or survey are counties where they were not found. Low numbers, 1 to 4 per 15 sweeps in green, yellow, 5 to 12, and high greater than 13. We typically see this concentration in this north central area of the state, but the thing that was very different this year, the bug was in soybean fields in 44 counties. Last year it was less than half that. The other new thing this year was that it occurred in the coastal plain. We've never seen them in the coastal plain before, but they were in 4 or 5 soybean fields in coastal plain counties, and we found one nymph in one cotton field in Suffolk where that dot is. How'd that nymph got there? Had to have come out of an egg hatch. We found no eggs, no adults, one nymph. So we are seeing this gradual movement south and into our coastal plain. I became worried about brown marmorated stink bugs for basically 3 reasons. One, it's a very polyphagous feeder, phytophagous feeder, lots of hosts that it feeds on. It's a stink bug. We worry about stink bugs. A county agent sent me this slide about 4 years or 3 years ago out of a garden. They were annihilating okra. What's related to okra? Cotton. The other thing that concerned me was when I started seeing pictures like this where they can drill directly into the trunks of fruit trees. So if they can eat okra and are attracted to it, can drill through the trunks of fruit trees, what's a cotton boll? So we initiated a 2-year study where we looked at both small and large cage. By the way, I need to back up and recognize our authors. Mike Taze, the primary author, Kathy Kaminga, is away to an emergency situation. Mike Taze did our data analysis, and Tom Kuhar on main campus at Blacksburg was also a co-author on this. So I'm going to present the data, and what I want to preface by saying this is very imperfect data. If you're a reviewer or a editor, we have a lot of imperfect data. When we start working with stink bugs and field trials and cage studies, things happen, and you're going to see a lot of things here, but I think we do have enough data to make a case, the case that we want to make. So we looked at two different types of field cage studies. This is not an uncommon technique, but we studied this a bit. Small cage, no choice. These are small mesh bags that are put on 3 bowl sizes, and I'll show you why we picked those diameters. 2011, we had 3 treatments, brown marmorateds, greens, and untreateds, 14 reps of each. 2012, one of our problems was when the brown marmorateds were available, we could find no green stink bugs in our environment. They happened later. Can't make them happen. We searched and searched and searched in North Carolina, Virginia. We worked with agents, consultants. We couldn't find them. So we could not put them into the cages. That's one of the problems that we had. But we increased our number of reps in these cages. And, of course, we assessed after that feeding period, we assessed that typical stink bug damage to bowls. Why did we pick those sizes of bowls? This is the card that many of you are familiar with that the Southeast group developed for making threshold decisions on stink bugs. These black circles are the diameter range that we suggest are the most susceptible bowl sizes to a stink bug, that 0.9 being the low range, that 1.1 inch diameter, the higher end. So when we decided what to subject our stink bugs to, The bowl sample range there, that 2.2 centimeter to 2.8, that's what's on the card. So we went the green diameters are the ones that we used in the study. We went one size below, and we went one size above. We did about a 0.4 centimeter smaller and about a 0.4 centimeter larger. So we used those. That's why we selected those three bowl sizes. One of the things that we wanted to be sure is that that small cage was not altering the environment, the microenvironment inside that cage. In a previous year, we did some studies, and we have some indication that this stink bug may not be as tolerant of really high temperatures. So we wanted to make sure that those cages weren't elevating the temperature. So we used, this is a picture in soybean. We forgot to take one in cotton. But we positioned these sensors at the levels that we were going to have them, and we had them in cages and outside of cages. And this is the temperature over an average over the day. The uncaged sensors were actually hotter. The cages were a little cooler, so at least we weren't elevating the temperatures in these little hand-sized cages. The humidity was slightly higher, so we're fairly convinced that we were not causing additional stress to these insects by the cages. This is some preliminary data that we got back the first year, and we showed this at meetings. If you look at this is the bowl size range, and in general, this is the green stink bug, and for these factors that we looked at, warts, stains, etc., there seemed to be a preference for the smaller bowls, and just the opposite for brown marmorated, a preference for these larger bowls. This was the 2011 data. This is something that we wanted to try to go into to deeper in 2012. This is where Mike came in with his statistical help. We also tried large cage studies. These would be choice studies where we caged a certain amount of row feet. These are 6x6 cages with cotton plants that we thinned out to a uniform density. And we introduced a series of bugs there. You can see different stages, greens and browns. We let them feed for a certain amount of time. We don't need to go into a lot of that detail. And we pulled every bowl after the feeding period, and or at least that was the plan. We also, after the feeding period, we killed these bugs. In the small cages, we used a technique that we're going to patent. It's called digital compression, where you take your forefinger and your thumb. We wanted to make sure there were no escapes. In these cages, we used methylparathion, which had the shortest reentry interval so that we could get back in and do our sampling. So we set all this up, and Hurricane Irene changed our plan. In one afternoon, the cages were moved several acres away from the plot, and fortunately we had killed the plant bugs out, I mean the stink bugs out prior to this, but we lost the experiment. So in 2012, we decided to abandon those large plot cages. We went to a smaller cage, about a pillowcase size cage, where we caged whole plants. But we were really careful to make sure that those plants offered the bowl size ranges that we wanted to expose them to at a fairly equal number. And we also checked to make sure that there weren't damaged bowls. Any bowl that appeared to be damaged with an external lesion, we pulled it and eliminated it from the cage. So we had a lot of reps. We used 10 cages, 10 reps, and we replicated that a second time. So we actually had about 20 reps on this work. So here are the results. Significant differences were detected for the species by bowl size interaction, the significance values there in red, and the species main effect. The slope of the linear curve for brown marmorated was significant. I'm going to show you this in a following figure. The slope and the linear curve were significant, and the y-intercept was different from zero. In contrast, neither the slopes or the linear curves for green stink bug were different, and the untreated were not significant. This is what it looks like. This, again, is the no choice. These are the small plot. Remember, the large cages were blown away. But the bottom line there, this is the untreated This is our untreated control. We felt good about this because you don't want to see a lot of damage in your untreated control. No bugs put in the cages. So we felt like we did a good job of controlling that. These are our green stink bug. Whoop. This is the green stink bug. There was no increased preference as the bowl size got larger. And here's our brown armorated stink bug in this top line. There was a distinct preference for these larger bowls as compared to green stink bug. The small cage studies in 2012, significant differences were detected again for treatment by bowl size interaction, very significant, and for the treatment main effect. The slope and linear curve for brown marmorated was significant. In contrast, the slope and linear curve of the untreated was not significantly different from zero, and this is what that looks like. Remember, we didn't have the greens. This is research. This is field work. We could not find them. We tried and tried and tried. So all we can say here is that in the control, again, we controlled our damage. We didn't have damage in our control plots. And this curve for brown marmorated looks very similar to what we saw in the previous year. Now, in this large plot or large cage study, again, as you recall, we were using these pillowcase size cages. Bowls exposed to nymphs exhibited increasing numbers of internal bowl warts with increasing bowl diameter throughout the possible range of bowls, and we went all the way up to 3.8 and even 3.9 centimeter diameter on these plants. I'll show you what that looks like. The slope was significant and was positive, and the y-intercept was different from zero. The slope for the untreated bowls was not significant, which you want to see, and was not different from zero. So all of this was due to Mike's number crunching and data analysis. And by the way, we are writing this up and submitting it. Even though it's imperfect, it's given us a story. Here's what that data looks like. This is number of internal warts in these cages. That bottom red line that you see, that's the untreated control. There was no damage, basically, in this untreated control with no insects. But you can see this trend towards an affinity for these larger bowls as they get larger. And it tops out, our bowls topped out at about 3.8 to 3.9 centimeter. So our conclusions, it's clear that brown marmorated are doing more piercing or creating more warts on larger bowls compared with green stink bug. Brown marmorated bugs are doing more piercing on larger bowls compared to smaller bowls. They seem to have a preference for the larger bowls. So Mike was throwing out some ideas. Is this, why is this? Do bugs have a harder time finding the seed in larger bowls, thus they do more piercing? Are seeds in big bowls less nutritious, so they have to feed on more seeds? Questions. Are the odds greater of hitting a seed in a smaller bowl versus a big bowl? Think changing the ratio of seed area to bowl size. So there could be a lot of reasons why we're seeing this, but I like this conclusion. This is by Dr. Michael Taze at the University of Georgia, 2012. This is going to go down into the annals of entomological science. Those damn brown marmorated stink bugs are really hitting the biggest of the bowls, and we are not currently sampling those bowls because they are out of the normal sampling zone for our remaining species. And we acknowledge Cotton Incorporated for their support and the Virginia State Cotton Support Committee. Thank you, Dominic.
Time for questions. Yeah.